Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Who's ready to sit down on the Word of God today? Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. It's an inspirational and slightly disturbing and religiously agitating text. Mark chapter 14 verse 1. It says, "Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him." How many of you know that even though they tried to do it secretly, Jesus already knew? You can't hide anything from Jesus. "But not during the festival," they said, "or the people may riot." While he, being Jesus, was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured perfume on his head. And some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial," which is his burial to come. "Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory or in legacy of her." Can we give God a big shout of praise for that incredible text? Very powerful. Thank you so much, worship team. Give them a big hand as well. Wonderful. Today, I want to speak on this thought. It's very simple. I'm not going to preach for long today, but it's called generational generosity. Generational generosity. And I'm using this text out of Mark 14. Shannon actually preached out of this last week, and he used the John chapter 12 version of this account. We also see this in Luke. Luke's account is slightly different. But the first thing to note is that all scripture is important and useful. But whenever we read scripture, this is what I don't want us to do today. I don't want us to just read scripture. I want scripture to read us. Is that okay? And so as we begin to read this text, I want the text to speak to us about the condition of our own heart. And there are three main characters or groups of characters in this account. Two of them spoke with their words. One spoke with her actions. Three main characters or groups of characters. Two spoke with their words. One spoke with their actions. Jesus and then the group of observers or the crowd both spoke. They made their comments, their opinions known. The woman that broke the jar of very expensive perfume didn't say a single word, yet she said so much with her actions. And if you're a Bible nerd, you obviously read John chapter 12 and all the other related texts to this as well. John 12 identifies her as Mary of Bethany, and so she's the sister of Lazarus. And as we begin to unpack this, Jesus says this, "Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached," this is verse 9, we just read it, "throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory or in legacy of her." We need to read that verse first because it'll make sense as to all the other things that are happening in the verses before. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you," to paraphrase that, he's saying, I need your attention. And he uses this as a teaching moment with a slightly corrective tone, possibly even slightly rebuking. And he speaks of this woman's sacrificial giving that will outlive her time on earth. What he's saying is that her act of sacrificial giving was going to be beyond her time on earth, where even today in 2026, I'm still preaching about her. So this is 2 days before Jesus' arrest. He's chilling at Simon the leper's house. So you can imagine what was going on here. This is Bethany. This was the place where Lazarus was resurrected. And if Mary was there, it was highly likely that her siblings were there too. And so you can imagine the gathering, right? The gathering was full of people who had their lives transformed. Simon the leper is obviously that he's a healed leper. Otherwise, they wouldn't have fellowship with him. Makes sense to you guys. So he's obviously experienced the life-transforming power of Jesus. It's just that his title stuck. It's like, you know, Jesus the carpenter. Like it's a title to identify him, but they call him Simon the leper. He's fully healed. He's made whole. He's throwing a dinner party. Lazarus, who was resurrected, he's got a second lease of life. He's around the dining table. The two sisters that were grieving, they're around the dining table. How many of you know that that is a room full of people that have had their lives changed by Jesus? So there's already faith in the room. But also around the dining table, because it's a house party, right? Well, also other people. There were some cynical people in there, maybe there to check out the reality of this Jesus' teachings. And we begin to see the whole gamut of the different levels of cynicism and faith, etc. It reminds me a little bit of like a normal church service, really. Like in any gathering of people, you've got the full gamut of people that can testify to the fact that Jesus changed my life, right down to people that are going, I'm here to check out what's truly happening here, right? And this Bible says that this woman that we know of as Mary of Bethany, she was so overwhelmed by Jesus, so overwhelmed at what Jesus has done for her and her family, that she comes in and the gospel writers tell us that she breaks this jar of nard or spikenard oil or perfume and begins to anoint Jesus's head with this expensive oil. And the gospel writers go on to tell us that it was more than a year's worth of wages. That's between 1 to 2 years worth of wages. I want you to think about your annual wage and think about what is maybe 1 to 2 years worth of that. Now, I love the Bible, right? Because it's the same application for everyone. That same more than a year's wage is applicable for someone in Phnom Penh today and as it is for someone here in Perth today. And I want you to understand this was not just a little tip, a little bottle of perfume from Chemist Warehouse on special. Did you know what I'm talking about? This was a significant moment. And how currencies used to work in the old world was that women weren't able to open bank accounts like they do now. And so the only way that they could store up their life savings or have a bit of what we would call a superannuation was to invest in textile or expensive oils throughout their life so that as they got older, or maybe if they were unfortunate enough to be widowed, they could sell off small parts of that throughout their lifetime to survive. And so here is something that she does, and it confronts everyone because she breaks that alabaster jar. And you can imagine being in the room. They would have seen her smash the jar. They would have heard the crack of the jar. And then 4 seconds later, the whole room is filled with a fragrance. It was deeply moving for some, highly offensive for some others. But I'm here to remind someone today that this was not theater, it was worship. It was not attention seeking, it was a woman filled with gratitude. It was not something she wanted to post on Instagram. This was her acknowledging that even though Jesus would be crucified, there'd be no stench of death but resurrection life. Do you understand that? So it was her speaking in faith about this Jesus who would die, but he wouldn't succumb to the stench of death because she understood the revelation that Jesus was one day going to be risen again. And like anything, wherever there's faith, there's also criticism. Wherever there's worship, there's also legalism. Wherever there's freedom, there's also bondage, because the crowd that was cynical around her said this. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another. Notice how they didn't say it to Jesus, they said it to each other. Is the gossip in the foyer. Why waste this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. They rebuked her harshly. How do you know that money is the best revealer of the condition of our hearts? That's why I love days like Building Our Future, because we get to see what the heart of this church is all about. Every Sunday, I get to see y'all worship and lift your hands and say Christianese things in the foyer. But when we give, we get to really see what our heart's all about. Because money is a great revealer of the condition of our hearts. See, money doesn't determine its own value. That day, to this woman, the whole alabaster jar, over a year's worth of wages, was worship. But to the cynics, it was a waste. See, money doesn't determine its own value. Our heart does. Money doesn't determine its own value. It is determined by the hands that hold it. Come on, somebody. And so today, as we give to Building Our Future, God's not actually looking at your amount. He's looking at your heart. So our amounts are going to be different, but I pray that our hearts are going to be the same. Come on, somebody, give God a big shout of praise. It's different amounts, but equal worship. Different amounts, but equal sacrifice. What's inside your jar that you're going to be breaking today is going to be very different to what's inside of my jar. What's inside of my jar is an accumulation of the what I can give out of my life, but I'm going to break the jar. And my prayer for you is that you'll break yours as well. And let me caution you that what we're doing today is going to open us up to criticism like it has for 22 years, because it inevitably does. The crowd was critical of Mary's legacy leaving moment, and their justification for criticism sounded so good. It sounded so noble. It sounded so logical. It sounded so sensible. It sounded so right on social media. It sounded on Facebook. It's so true, isn't it? It's amazing how our hearts are cynical and faithless. When it's cynical and faithless, we always reach for something that sounds noble and logical and sensible to justify it. And what we're going to be giving today, as we have for 22 years, is to sow into the Nations Church of tomorrow. We get to live today in this reality because of those that have sown in the years gone before. And every year, people will say stuff like, oh, someone actually said this to me a couple of years ago. Why do this for Playhill Street? We can just do this and take all the money and give it to the poor, right? How many of you know that 2,000 years ago, they said the same thing? It sounded so noble. It sounded so plausible. And all that criticism of Mary, John actually outed in John chapter 12, the same text, that voice as the voice of Judas Iscariot. The Bible says this in John chapter 12, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, and he used to help himself to what was put into it. Classic Judas move. He pretty much gaslighted Mary here, right? Her whole legacy, her deep revelation of giving, he absolutely just went to town. And you know what? Everyone that criticizes someone else's revelation of giving is always hiding something that's an issue in their own heart about money. And that's why giving moments are so holy. Because it flushes out our unredeemed attitudes, our unholy mindsets, the broken conditions of the human heart. And then Jesus says this, right? He says, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. And then in verse 7, he says the most religiously agitating thing ever. He says, the poor you'll always have with you. And you can help them anytime you want. But me, this moment here, this is the moment. This is the moment. See, what critics called waste, Jesus calls beautiful. What critics called waste, Jesus calls worship. I had to double take this verse 7 and read it. And in the original, in the Greek it says that, exactly that. What Jesus is saying is this, the world is full of needs. As a Christian, we all should meet needs all of the time. But it's one thing to give out of need, and that's the most basic form of generosity. There's something about stepping up to giving out of revelation. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach. He was using that moment as a teaching moment. We ought to give to need anytime, anywhere. And I would even submit to you, you don't even need to be a Christian. That's just your civic duty. That's why Telethon raises money for needy people. That's why there's lots of fundraising everywhere. There's lots of charities because that's the basic part of being human and decent. But as Christians, we ought to live as disciples. And Jesus was teaching this moment to Judas and all his detractors. Come on. That this moment is about not giving to need, but giving out of revelation. There is a difference. There is a difference. Giving to need always makes us feel good, and it should, because that's how God created us. But giving sacrificially out of revelation, that doesn't feel so good sometimes because it's sacrificial. My prayer for us is that we are called to give out of revelation today. What Jesus calls beautiful, they called a waste. They called irresponsible. But Jesus called Mary's financial sacrifice that day beautiful. You can imagine the room. They understood what was going on. They heard the crack. They saw it. They smelt it. What she was doing was essentially saying, I'm pouring this over your head, Jesus. I trust you with my future. I trust you with my life. I'm all in. Count me in on this. I trust you with my tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.